The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the ways of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed and left him and went away. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to change my view here so I can see some of your smiling faces and ask the kids to come up close. How are you doing this morning? Are you well? Can give me a thumbs up if you're good. Thumbs down if you're not. You're good. Awesome. So I'm going to make a couple faces, and I want you to see if you think I'm either, see what kind of mood I'm in just by the face that I make. So if I make a face like this, you might think, what? That I'm getting a school picture taken. That I'm happy, right? If I make a face like this, what do you think? Think I might be mad? That? Maybe? Yeah, I would say so. If I make a face like, think I might be sad? Yeah, those are different ways. You know, we can say a whole lot by just our faces and the expressions of our faces. There used to be a game when I was a kid called charades. And we would do actions just to try to communicate, to try to tell the people that we were playing with about a certain thing, object, or movie. So let's play a quick game of charades. I'm gonna try this. So I'm not supposed to talk, but I don't know how often you guys have played charades. So I want to let you know that this is a movie, and this was the sign we used to use for movie. Can you imagine how old that and dated that is? This is movie. Now we need to get out of the cell phone or something like that, but this is a movie. So I'm trying to act out the title of a movie for you, okay? So it's going to be really quick, and I hope it's going to be really easy for you. Ready? Here we go. You get it? I'm frozen. I'm not moving, except for my lips. It's frozen. So if, or maybe you didn't get that one because they're just, you know, a little short on time here. The movie was frozen, so I tried to be froze. The point is, there's a lot of ways that we can communicate without even using our words. And Paul, in our second lesson today, wants those Thessalonians to know that the way that they are acting, the way they are behaving, the way they are acting is the way that God is acting them to be kind, to be nice, to be loving, to show others respect, to be with them, to support them. God asks us to do all that. And sometimes we don't even have to say a word other than the way we act in front of others, the way our faces welcome others, the way our actions lead people to think. So let us pray. God, thank you for your love, that it warms us, that it shows us how to love others. Help us to always consider how you love others so that we may do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Amen. So we've all been there. We have this image to uphold. And one of the first images I remember was our school pictures. Once it was time for school pictures, we usually got a haircut, we got a nice shirt or an outfit, and we get to get that school photo that will be enshrined on our parents' wall for the next 364 days until we get the next one taken. So, some of our pictures were good. Of course, good is relative according to your context. My fifth grade year. So I'm trying to see which way I'm pointing. Yep, that's it. That's it right there. I was excited about my escape from my regular bowl cut hairstyle and got this David Cassidy meets Vinnie Barbarino style that was so cool. But some of our school pictures, maybe not so good. Along comes eighth grade. Yes, the year I was so lucky to get glasses and braces in the same year. Forget about the haircut that year. I don't know what happened. Possibly I even forgot my comb. I'm not sure. Whose head is this? That seems so far away and a lifetime ago. But I remember the insecurity I felt and the unawareness of who I was or what I was doing. Whose head is this? Is the question Jesus asks when he's given the coin used for the tax. And it leads me to wonder. So our gospel text for today starts out in the temple. And it's during the last week of Jesus' life. Our gospel text for today proclaims that the Herodians and the Pharisees are teaming up to entrap Jesus. But it is a bit odd because they normally would not be working together. Yet this mutual threat of Jesus as a leader and a unifier of the people threatens the image and power that they both held, the Pharisees and the Herodians, within the society. The Pharisees and the Herodians were teaming up, and it would be like Bobby Knight and Gene Cady coaching together to defeat a common rival. You simply wouldn't see it under normal circumstances. But this is the circumstance. They are plotting to entrap Jesus in what he is saying. So they begin by giving him credit. They build him up, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere, and teach the ways of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" They are developing an image of themselves and Jesus. They want others around them to see that they are not the threat, and wish others to see them as admirers of Jesus. Of course, the people's image of Jesus was one of a prophet and a teacher, so the Pharisees and the Herodians wished to bring him and entrap him in his words. If they could ambush Jesus in his own words, talking against the emperor or denying God, they would have him in their trap. It's quite the plot. So when they ask their question, he answers, He can only answer one of two ways, or so they thought. And he would be caught in their trap. You see, if Jesus answers yes, it is lawful to pay the imperial tax, the people around him would lose faith in him and consider Jesus a sellout to the Roman Empire. This tax was one of many taxes paid by the faithful. I mean, they had their land taxes, their custom taxes, their temple taxes. Sound familiar? And this tax was the imperial tax. It was one denarius per year, per person, to the Roman Empire, who were their oppressors. That's correct. They paid tax to be oppressed. So you might understand that if Jesus, who was one to preach release to the captives and food for the hungry and equality for the poor, if Jesus would now side with the empire, his followers might be outraged, even turn riotous. And if Jesus answered no, it is not lawful, the Herodians or other militant groups there would view this opinion as an act against the Roman Empire and capture him and put him on trial and probably death. The image of Jesus was doomed either way in their plan, or at least they thought. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me a coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Whose head is this? And whose title? They answered, the emperor's. At this point, it was over for the Pharisees. You see, for the same reason, they wished Jesus to say it is lawful to pay the imperial tax. They were caught in the temple with a coin, with the image of an emperor on it. They themselves were ready to pay that tax. And second, the Pharisees were known for following the law. And what's the first commandment, or at that time, the law of Talmud? "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols." The coin had an image of the emperor, Tiberius Augustus, stamped onto it. And furthermore, the title would be inscripted, Tiberius Caesar Divi Augusti Filius Augustus Pontifex Maximus, or Tiberius Caesar, Augustus, son of the divine Augustus, high priest. So now we understand why Jesus was calling them hypocrites. They were trying to entrap Jesus of actions in which they were already guilty. The Pharisees had a coin in their pocket that said the emperor was the divine rather than God. Why else would they have a coin to pay the emperor's tax unless they were willing to pay it? Which then enlightens the people observing where the Pharisees' loyalties lie. And therefore, the phrase "image is everything" is really important. The image of God, the image we have of God, the image we have of others, the image we have of Jesus, the image we have of ourselves becomes so important. In my mind, I have an image of Jesus. I want him to show these Herodians and Pharisees that they are bad and wrong. Because subconsciously, if others are bad and wrong, and I hold opposing views to theirs, logically, I must be good and right. Yet Jesus doesn't really go there. His answer, his brilliant answer, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed and went away. Professor Nadella from Samuel A. Cartledge, associate professor of New Testament, writes this: "What is the relationship between the political and the theological aspects of paying? Paying to both Caesar and God was not so much about checking off boxes or keeping them, or keeping both of them equally happy, but about carefully considering the complexity and the issue at hand. While people pay taxes to Rome out of obligation, they pay to God because of their calling and their commitment to promote an alternative kingdom. Jesus here is sincere in his image because God's image is stamped on him. God stamped Jesus with holiness and faithfulness and patience and truthfulness and generosity and hope and love. There is an insinuation to human beings being made in the image of God so that just as Caesar's image on the coin means it is already, means that it already belongs to Caesar, so God's image and humanity means that human beings already belong to their Creator and cannot finally give ultimate allegiance to any other authority. We are stamped in the image of God, and our title of beloved child is inscribed on our hearts. At our baptism, on our foreheads, we are marked with the indelible cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. Because this is true for us, it is true for others as well. It's all about the image that we hold for our God, for Jesus, for ourselves, and for others. In Jesus' answer, he declares that there is a time to contribute to the common good of the community by giving what is needed. No one likes to pay taxes, especially no more than their fair share. But as we do pay our fair share, our taxes go to help the common good. They go to major health programs, to our defense and security, to safety net programs. They help abused and neglected children, not to mention our police and our fire departments and our schools. These are essential items we need to provide for humanity, and it should not matter who our leaders are. In our first reading today, we have an example of this Persian king, Cyrus. Not a Christian, not even close. He's the emperor, though, that God takes by the hand and who will allow the Israelites back into their temple through the prophet Isaiah. God says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped. I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Image is everything. As God has claimed us and taken us by the hand, God calls us to be holy and faithful, patient, truthful, generous, hope-filled, and loving. And that begins with ourselves. We need to love and accept these images of ourselves with all their mistakes and insecurities, their wonderings and expectations, fully recognizing who they are, who God made them to be, even when they may be out of our norm or out of our customary norm. We have to realize that they are still fully valued and worthy of God's love. And as we see our image in a new light, as God created us, and we become forgiving and loving of ourselves with all of our faults, we can then more easily see the image of God in others and extend that forgiveness and love to them. God's image is everything. This is one of our new banners for the entrance where we will communicate to all our image and the image we hold of others. Our Savior Lutheran Church values the image of God in the variety of people God made, people of faith and people of doubt, people of any origin, race, ability, sexual orientation, or gender expression, people who seek a compassionate community. All are welcome here. At the very end of our reading today, the Pharisees and Herodians were amazed and left Jesus and went away. And I don't believe this was the end for them and that they never returned. I believe they were amazed because Jesus answered in a way they did not think he would. And that they also thought in his answer, he still held room for forgiveness, even for the hypocrites. Jesus knows we must play our part in this community and society. He is not asking us to step away from it to become our own inclusive people, rather to live into our calling in our commitment to promote an alternative kingdom, a kingdom of welcoming and equality, a society of listening and love. In their amazement, I would like to think they took a step back and reflected on their self-image and what it was based upon. Maybe in time they might have thought as the Thessalonians. Paul says this, and I remind you, for we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit. And with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in West Lafayette and Indiana. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in West Lafayette and Indiana, but in every place your faith in God has become known. As you have reflected on the gifts, as you have reflected these last few weeks over giving time, talents, and treasures, which you were called to share with the church, I proclaim to you, you are, through the Holy Spirit, making a difference in this world. Your gifts to the church impact those in West Lafayette and the world. The image of God is yours. It's up to you how you will show it and how you will see it in others. Amen.